Is that working? Okay. Let's turn to Philippians 4, chapter 4. We just go through from verse 1 to 9 this morning. Therefore, my beloved brother, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in the harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help this woman who has shared my struggle in the course of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow worker, whose names are in the book of the life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice, lest your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious of nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent, and if there is any worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's bow our head and start with prayer. Our dear Jesus, Lord, you are the very word yourself. This morning we come before you and humbly coming before you and ask that you, through your word, you speak to us and really ask that your word is like the living water washing over us and refresh us for the day, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Okay, this morning we talk about the passage we read with from Philippians 4:9. If we read through it quickly, I don't know whether it will catch your eyes, as there's a couple words that keep repeating. It's talk about in the Lord. The Lord is with you. Will be with you. And if you go through, this passage right in the middle, it say that the Lord is near you. That is in verse 5. Basically, if you look through it, this sentence is almost like a set theme of this particular passage, talking about the Lord is near. A few weeks ago, our church, we have this exercise. We are given a blank mask to draw on. On the face, it's like how people perceive you. Inside is how you perceive yourself and you think yourself it's like. So we have different people drawing, and it's like some very colorful, very artistic. We have someone actually just couldn't draw anything, just write words on the face. So inside and outside, there's a lot of word. And there's a common thing happen. Like if we look through each mask, I think except one that is inside and outside is the same. The rest, the always showing the face to the people is more colorful and more intact, or more have it all together. But when inside, we can see scarf, brokenness and all this. So they're definitely talking about that we have a public face and also have an inner face, that we are not together, not the same. For me, I think my mask, there are some that is outside and inside. At one point of time, I was thinking, I used to be inside and outside very different, especially before I know Christ. But as I continue to know Christ and my life being changed by God, I find that outside and inside still getting more similar. So what I'm showing other people is actually what I'm inside. But of course, not everything is the same. We can't tell the whole world a lot of other things and things that we have not yet dealt with. So that is also that private face. That draw me to thinking is that a lot of time when our behavior very different when we are in front of other people. And today the passage talk about God is near. A lot of time, okay, God is omnipresent, He's everywhere. But consciously, how conscious we are knowing that God is near, is our behavior very different? I remember, when we all of us being the kids, we tend to be more behave when parents are around, when the authority figures or someone, someone that is authority figure around you, you will behave differently. And having that mindset that God is always there with you, the question I posed to you this morning is, how is your behavior? Do you have that consciousness that God is with you this morning or next to you, will you do things differently? And I think this passage today is also to talk about, is like when we are in the Lord, what sort of behavior or what sort of things that demand us when God is near us. So if we can break down, you know, I can broadly break down this passage into four different headings. The first is like the nearness of God, when God is near, is actually demand Christian community. That's very first thing that we see in verse 2. Here, in verse 2, it says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. It seems that they have an argument. These two ladies who are actually having an argument. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking you to live in harmony, right? So what's the argument? I think from the text of verse 3, we can see that, you know, indeed, true companion asked you to help this woman who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. It seems that they're having a theological fighting, or they are fighting on some belief that is related to the gospel or related to the Bible. And here he suggests that we are living God created church. Jesus come down and we have this community that is not a personal belief. It's what I believe in God and I have my own belief. He put us into this community. It's like a check and balance. And we are there not to encourage we acknowledge that there's diversity, as we know that different denomination and things are going around the world. But what is here is asking us to focus is what God's heart is, to be of the same mind of God. And yesterday, I have a very interesting conversation with one of the sisters. She is asking me, you know, what is the difference between evangelical and charismatic? And I was telling her, you know, I try to avoid drawing that distinction because charismatic is an expression, is a form of a behavior that also manifests in different denominations. Baptists, they have charismatic people who speak in tongues. Anglican, like very traditional people, denomination, but yet they have people move in the spirit. So in a sense that if we start, you know, giving different terms and segregate people, we are splitting the church. And that is, we have to be very careful when we come to, you know, different definition and try to separate. A lot of time we have this mindset is that it's mutually exclusive. The truth is that God is so much more. It doesn't mean that one person behave different from you is wrong. So sometimes we need to be very humble when we come to things that are different from us. I remember, you know, before I go in the seminary, I thought I was pretty open. I, from a charismatic background, I speak in tongues, I saw deliverance and like crazy thing and prophetic act and all this crazy thing. At the same time, at the back of my mind, also, there's an alarm going off. It's like, all things are good, but then Paul also teaches us to have discernment. So I got confused along the line, but in my heart, I thought I'm pretty open. Even to prejudice, to, you know, some tradition church are thinking they are lifeless and, you know, really critical. And when I go into seminary, I start to expose to different denomination and I see how God work in other people's life. The fruit of the spirits that coming from people from different denomination, that make me realize it doesn't matter if it's charismatic or not, how you express yourself. Some people that, have theological, like really sound, go into theory and they find comfort in that and God speak to them through those, you know, really hardcore theology. And yet their faith is strong and yet they have the love minister to the people around them. And that put me in a really, you know, show me that, you know, it's really not what the outward behavior is, really not, you know, whether you speak in tongue or not, but it's really how you live out that Christian faith. And I remember during seminary, I heard, like, you know, from other denomination and look through the track of history, I heard that at one point of time, drum is considered evil. I think, what? but that's cause of thinking. A lot of people that haven't fight in this sort of matter, they actually passionate about God. Otherwise, I think we have, like Pastor Sam and other people also preach a few times. A lot of time, all this breakup or disunity come by is because people have passion for God and they're holding so strong for the faith. If everyone is lukewarm Christians, no one will fight about these sort of things. And seriously, they have the heart of God. And this is exactly the passage when we look at how strongly that Paul here is an urge that Euodia and Syntyche, you know, live in harmony. Why? If we look at verse 3, you guys are in the book of life. They are the people that God loves. They are the one that chosen by God. And he asking not just them, okay, be like, you know, in harmony and don't fight. He's asking the brother and sister next to them, around them. It's like Clement and the co-worker in Christ. So as a church, if we see people start fighting, we also come alongside to be that peacemaker. And it's talking about living in a community. So the first section, if I cut it off, segregated, I would say that the nearest of God, when God is near, he demands community, a community that of the same mind in the Lord, having the same heart and passions. And I went on to, you know, sometimes it's confusing, you know, what's the fundamental belief. You know, every Sunday we cite the Apostle Creed. It is very helpful to us. And if we have time, we do, I would highly encourage you guys to look into it, what you are actually believing in. And even the Apostle Creed, the reason how it come by is because different people reading the Bible come up with their own theology, and it's sometimes it go to the extreme, sometimes need correction. And so a bunch of, you know, early church father, they come together after debate, and finally identify these are the fundamental tenet of what we believe in. But after that, you know, over the years, this is a very fundamental. And as we continue to develop in our faith and more, that actually different version of the creek, and the creek actually got longer and longer. And so standing up today, what else do we be, you know, the world is changing. And I want to point to you guys to this particular convention that is actually convened in the 70s. It's a bunch of evangelists coming together. It's called Lausanne Covenant. They're coming together. They have, I think it's organized by Bill Graham. He's seeing that different denomination having conflicts and all this, and he see the goodness, the importance of sharing the gospel and what they're believing in. And some people challenge, you know, go to extreme and all this. So all together, if I look through the history of the website, it's talk about 109 countries coming together, having churches of different denomination and coming up with something that like the fundamental things that, you know, addressed a lot of conflicts that that people have. And they basically is, it has the essence of Apostle Creed, but it also address the present issue people fighting on. Like, for example, social gospel went to extreme. It's like doing good work is a replacement of gospel, and that is extreme. But at the same time, does it mean that we don't do good work? No, we still help the poor and the widow and all this. But it have a very good, it set out, the covenant is very clear set out, and it's definitely worth going and have a look. You know, even for our own, you know, faith, you know, knowing what we believe in. A lot of people ask us, and sometimes it's like, oh, so much, the whole Bible, I cannot recite the whole thing, right? And this definitely is a good pointer and a good reference site for us. The second point on when God is near, it demands joy. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Here is a very intentional word, rejoice. It's not, it's definitely is talking about that joy of the Lord. And what exactly it mean, like, you know, do we just, you know, put on a face that laughing and inside we're broken and crying inside? I really do not think so. And it's talking about the heart. A lot of time, if we go into thanksgiving and gratitude, when we start seeing the blessing that God have for us. Yesterday, we were in this International Christian Fellowship in the Hong Kong U, and different students from different denomination coming together and share. And I remember this couple guy, they always, like, you know, really deep in theology and then think about like biblical term and reciting verses and all this, and they actually draw the comfort, which is correct. I'm not saying it's not. Very correct. It's like, because Jesus died for us, and that's why we have that security, we have that joy. When he suffered, he think about the cross. And that really helped, definitely. But a lot of time, for me, having a difficult personality, I may go into a more experiential. It's like I go into prayer, and in my prayer time, I connected with God, or I read through the Word of God, and the Word of God comfort me. That I'm a person that more experiential, and it showed that, you know, different character have different way of approaching God. And again, if I can go back to the first point, it's like these are just our thing. People having different mode of operation doesn't mean they are wrong. So. But the thing is that you identify your way that you can really go into the presence of God, that you have that heart of thanksgiving. And a lot of time, it's very intentional. If you look at this passage, the word rejoice is that like imperative. You have to do it by how? By having that thankful heart. If we go into the practice, you know, a lot of time when we say grace, we just say, oh, thank you, Lord, and then we just so automatic. The question then I will pose to you is like, how thankful you are. And if we start developing in a practice, is start listing out the things that you actually thank God for, it become more concrete. A lot of time we're just having that knowledge is like, we are thankful, but we did not go into detail. And a lot of time, because we didn't go into detail, it becomes so not concrete. And I see the benefit of having it identified, listing it out. Actually, your faith and how God come along is not become more real to you, and definitely that is something to put in mind. And verse 5 here say, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. And another translation is, let your gentleness be evident to the people around you. It's talking about mercy, talking about patience. And I know that we have always have a bit of time, but I think this morning I will just go through the 2 points, and if I have chance to share again, I will go through the other 2 points that I want to share with you guys. When God is near, what He demands us, and this morning I want to go into some more practical way that can live out the two things that we talked about this morning. You know, living in a community. I went onto the website and like looked through something practical tips that will help us to develop that. Sense of community, living in community. And here's the 2 options that I got from the website. It say that on purpose, with the intentions, meet 3 Christians who you never met before in a church. You know, every Sunday we have new people, we have people been around for a long time. But the question is how well we really know them? Probably not really a lot of them. So here say that, you know, find out 3 Christians that you have never met before in your church. Don't just say hi, but have a conversation with them. Get to know them. Maybe it's someone at church you don't know, or you know, or people that you haven't met, but you know that person is a believer. And ask them how long they have been a Christian, what they do, just to simply get to know them, so that you know we can truly live out the community. When the early church get together, everyone know each other, and they share the poverty, they eat together, and that. The bonding start building up. And second thing that we can do to really live out that community is talk to a believer whom you have a conflict. Again, is that paragraph, living in harmony. The people that you have conflicts, apologize sincerely and seek reconciliation. Really pray beforehand, you know, the problem that you have. Talk to, you know, someone that you know for guiding how to approach, you know, and making it real living in church, because a lot of time we don't want to step on people's toe or certain scar, things that happen and we distance ourselves. Yes, it protects ourselves, it's a self-defense mechanism, but it's not going to help in living that true sense of community. And I know it's difficult. I have people that I haven't reconciled, so I seriously need to consider and seriously need to take that step, because once that little sting is there, it's going to divide people, especially when the shaking start coming through. And all this little mole can grow into something even bigger. The other thing that we can do in terms of rejoice in the Lord, I think this is really helpful. And I used to keep a prayer journal as well. I put down all my prayer and my conversation with God. And it's helped me to have that discipline to talk to God daily, if you have not been doing that already. You say, write down on a piece of paper everything that your life is bad. So it's like things like trouble at home, you know, if you're a student, it's at school, you know, the temptation and struggle that you have with people, friends, and write them all down and just, you know, be honest to yourself, be true to yourself, just like Pastor Sam shared last Sunday. When you list them all out, then it's a heart check as well. What are things that you are still holding against people? Because God told us not to hold the anger before dawn. And was it dawn or sunset? Before sunset. And read, you know, James. Also, you know, at the same time, read James 1:2-4, basically say, consider everything is joy, even, you know, even when you are in different trial. And the thing that it encouraged us here is that when you having that difficult time, it actually develop your faith, and that produce endurance, and endurance actually actually perfect in your faith and in your walk. So as you are listening to all this trouble, have the Word of God coming alongside to you, letting God speak to you. So this is only one passage you can read, right, in the Bible that comfort you, but or remind you that what you're going through have a cause, has a reason. But there's other favorite verses you probably have. So come alongside, listening to all the grudges or struggle that you have, but also have the Word of God next to you, encourage you. But that's not it. Just one by one, listening out to God and write joy next to it and ask, like, how I can turn that into joy. I'm not asking you to force it to be unnatural, but I believe that as you meditate in God's Word, as you start asking God what to do with the struggle, those burdens are gradually lifted up as you pass it on. I don't think it's an immediate thing. People say, do not anxious be all things and you know, be joyful. It's not what my personal experience sometime. It is supernaturally, it could happen that lift up that burden. But a lot of time, we do need to struggle and wrestle and having that relationship, interaction with God before that burden of being lift off. It's like a process. But if we start doing it intentionally, I truly, truly believe that God will come and teach us how to live through that. It's not just blocking the thing out. I really believe that by letting out the hurt and anger, living in the surface, Satan cannot come in and speak lie into it, first of all. Secondly, when it is all out, then you look at it, oh, after all, it's not as painful. Thirdly, is that God come in when you're honest with Him. The other thing that we can do, I think worship really helps. You know, as you are very, you know, sad and all this, it not just divert your focus to God, but it's also, you know, I think music is created by God and really can transform our heart and mind. So the other thing to learn to be, you know, not to learn to be, but intentional to be rejoicing in the Lord, I think worship, singing worship praises to Him, you know, at least 30 minutes, would be helpful. So you probably can think of other things that help you to live out that intention, living out that community, and also to have that rejoice life. So maybe we just have a bit of time of meditation, and then you just ask God, you know, what else can I do? Or with the thing that, you know, suggestions that's being made just now, whether, you know, how should I go about it? So they can. Thank you.
Thank you. river runs in my mind, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs in love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hand, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know.
Let's go for today's prayer focus. The mission's focus today is like Mexico, Japan, Nagoya. There's still Japan. There's still a lot of aftershocks still going on, and let's pray for safety for Kenny when he's there, and also other missionary in Japan, Mexico. That's Frank and Fabi, Master Beauty Ministry. Or Thailand, that's Rachel. I think she's going back home, so she's raising fund and all this. So pray for her, and also the NK Church, the persecuted church, and also Chris Kim. Let's pray for their ministry. Really pray that that God are protecting them. Not just that, praying them they have joy in their ministry, and they're living out the true gift, the Spirit of God that is living through them, and making testimony for people that are so desperate in need for God.
Thank you.
Also pray for SP Ministry, pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, Youth Youth Group getting out of Friday, and also Sunday. We have a whole bunch of young people coming together for Bible study. Let's pray that, you know, they pray for Pastor Nay having that wisdom to minister, and also Noah's Ark. Pray for not just the kids and teacher, and also that some people transition, some people teacher left, and new teacher coming in, new TA. So pray that they have that passion from God, the love that the God to express and love those kids. This is the last week of the house church. Some of them are still gathering, so let's pray for the first day house churches, Kennedy, PP, and Conduit. Praying that they have a good season together and with a lot of thanksgiving. And also praying, you know, for good fellowship tonight. Also, let's also continue to pray for Pastor Sam and Pastor Samsung. They're still making, hopefully they're making their way back home today. And so pray for Jenny Mercy from the Beijing trip. Pray that, you know, the people they meet in Beijing really give them, you know, lead and guides, and how, you know, wisdom also how we can better set up SP Beijing, Beijing. Finally, let's continue to pray for SP Move. Pray that God will continue to open new places as we continue to look, and also, you know, all the work that we need to prepare, like finance, paper, account, and all this stuff. That will, in the meantime, you know, at God's timing, it will continue to move forward. And really pray that this community, a real community, being happening in SP, and as a community, we are moving forward and embracing that SP Move, that vision that God has given us. Father God, this morning we come before you, Lord. You once again reminded us about community, about this church that you love, Lord. Every Sunday we cite the Apostle Creed. We talk about we believe in one universal church. A lot of time we thought about just SP, but we didn't thought about, you know, the greater community that you have given on earth and also in Hong Kong, Lord. I just ask that, Lord, that you continue to broaden our view that that we start embracing the differences and seeing the beauty of diversity, but yet at the same time, we're having that wonderful unity that you have created for us in Christ, Lord Jesus, Lord. And I know that a lot of time we say that, you know, for things to transform, we have to be transformed first. So Lord, that we come before you, and I ask that you continue to speak to my brothers and sisters here and also in the congregations, Lord, embracing that unity and diversity in our heart, Lord. And also, above all, is it that love that you have shown us, Lord, and show us how we can, you know, live out that love in starting within SP, Lord. I know that sometimes newcomers come in and they felt a bit lost, don't know what to do, and people, you know, hang out there in their own group. Maybe we just have to be more intentional to reach out to people. And you are asking us not just a superficial chit-chat. You're asking us to truly love a fellow brother and sister. And I know it doesn't happen, like, you know, everyone the same way, but at least show us how to go about and teach us, Lord. We know that it's still a long way, but we trust that, Lord, that as our heart are tuned into you and our eyes is cast upon you, you will show us who you love and how to love the people that you love, Lord. So I pray that a true community will happen in SP, Lord. Lord, I also lift up, you know, in the midst of all this news that's coming in all over the world, like Pastor Nay was sharing yesterday, the Ivory Coast, the conflicts that's happened over there, you know, there's still various earthquakes all over in the Southeast Asia, and the news that keep bombarding us, having all these negative things happen. I just pray that we have that true joy that is from you, that true containment that is in you, Lord. Sometimes it's like a mystery, but yet we know that when you are in our hearts just jump with joy. And there are times that we're also weeping with you together for these people. So I just pray, Father, that one thing that we are that true people, that authentic people that you want us to be, Lord. And so this morning I just leave my brother and sister to you, and I really ask you to energize them and recharge them for the day of work, and really bless them and take care of them, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.